SOP258, today we've got an update on a member of the School of Podcasting, and we're answering the question, what are the basic must-haves to begin a podcast?
It's the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005, I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you so very, very much. Thank you so much. Really, thank you for tuning in. I know you're busy. This is where we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to promoting to producing to monetizing to starting to all of the above. If we're talking podcasting, you find it here at the School of Podcasting. Our website, as you might imagine, is schoolofpodcasting.com. I would love to hear from you, just like I heard from Susie, and I heard from Paul, and you can email me. It's dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. You can call in your comments. That's actually my preferred way, but that's okay, because then I can hear your sparkling voice here on the show. It's 888-563-3228. That is courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com, or you can leave a comment out at our blog. Go out to the website, click on podcast, and you can see all the previous shows. Well, we're just going to jump right into it. Let's start off with Paul. Paul was a member of the School of Podcasting back, I want to say 2008, and he emailed me and said, I've been listening to your show for, hold on, let's go back to the email. I've been listening to probably for 5 years. I won one of your contests way back when, so you might remember me. I do. Anyway, your writing your book prompted me to write one of my own. As a fellow Christian who's passionate about podcasting, I thought you might be interested in this. I know you know basically everything in here, but I thought I'd let you know about it. And he was using CreateSpace. So we're talking a little author stuff, because, of course, I just released More Podcast Money over at morepodcastmoney.com. And his is called Podcasting Church, 21st Century Webcasting for a Timeless Message. And I will put a link to that out in the show notes, or you can go to trinitydigitalmedia.com. to pick it up. So if you're wondering what happens to members of the School of Podcasting, a lot of them are still podcasting, but many of them have gone on to be podcast consultants, and which is kind of funny because I'm basically growing my own competition. And if you've listened to me in the past show, there's not that there's no competition for me, but I don't look at it like that. I really don't. So Paul, good luck with the book. I am having a mild success with mine. The reviews are slowly coming in. You can find mine at More Podcast Money if you already have a podcast and you're looking to help pay for that hosting bill. Next up, I want, this is from Susie from oneloveformurses.org, now, which has a special place for my heart because I'm married to a nurse. A wonderful, wonderful person who actually does get to share her testimony with people. She works with a spine surgeon. And so when Susie sent me this letter, it really touched me. She said, I want to drop you a line to say thank you for taking time out of your life to produce the School of Podcasting show. Although I have only had the opportunity to listen to one show, which was the PodCamp Questions for Beginners, I believe that it will be a great asset to my growth in podcasting. I'm a registered nurse and a nonprofit ministry founder and president, which is the One Love Nursing Ministries. We're a mission to inspire nurses to keep God first, grow closer to Him while serving our profession and the world beyond. We want to spread our mission and inspire nurses everywhere. I'm going to stop right there. If you are in some sort of organization and you say we want to spread the mission, one of the key ingredients of podcasting is it reaches a global audience. And people are like, hey, Dave, did you go to Blog World? No, I didn't. You know why? Because I've gone to a lot of, the magic of Blog World and podcasting expos and things like that is you get to network with other podcasters. That's really the benefit of that. And what I don't find there are people that are looking to start a podcast. Where I find those are when I go to author conventions, when I go to comedian conventions, when I go to musician conventions, people that want exposure. And that's one of the keys. It's a great way to build your community is through a podcast. I mean, look at this. Today's topic is coming from my audience. It's a beautiful thing. Let's continue on with her email. She said, podcasting seems to be a natural vehicle for this to happen. It does. I'll give you an example. I talked about the My Charity Box on a couple podcasts ago, and through signing up, I am now on their email list, and they sent all this information, and it's about fundraising and this and that. And I said, you know, this is great information. Why isn't it a podcast? I can't read this newsletter in my car. And I said, you could have people share your stories about how they're raising money and any tips and tricks that they're learning, all this stuff. And they went, that's a great idea. And I'm always amazed at people that have an email newsletter, but they don't have a podcast. I don't get that. But anyway, let's continue with Susie's email. Since I have no experience in this sort of thing, that's all right. Neither did I. Well, I take that back. I was a musician, so I knew what a microphone was. I truly appreciate you breaking down basically the bare bone basics. I look forward to listening to more and visiting your website and then sharing what I've learned with others on my team. Well, that's beautiful that you're out there spreading the word. Keep up the good work. So I basically emailed back to her, said, hey, my wife's a nurse. We kind of talked a little nursing. And I said, and here's people go, well, how do you get topics for your show? It's a two-word plan. I asked her, I said, you know, hey, thank you for the insight. I always feel bad because, not so much bad, but I mean, I've been podcasting. I always say I'm podcasting since 2005, which in reality is a dumb way to start the show because that doesn't mean I'm good. It means I'm persistent. But I sometimes podcast for things that interest me. And, it's been a while since I've been in Susie's shoes. So I asked her, and she said, well, right now I'm just wondering what kind of studio I need to have. Will I get too much echo in a dining room with hardwood floors? Let me answer that, because for whatever reason, today it's really noisy here on a Saturday. I've had a bunch of sirens in the background, and now I just heard my neighbor go, ah! And I hear it, but I don't know if you do. But here's the thing. I'm going to move away from my chair, and I'm going to turn up the gain on my microphone. I am in an all-concrete room, except for one room as panel. It's in the basement. Hear that echo? Now, if you have headphones on, you can probably hear that. And I'm going to get closer to the mic now and turn my mic back down. Let me look at my levels. Okay, about there. So my mouth right now is about 2 inches from the microphone, which is why I'm the king of lip smacks, which is because I'm probably too close to the microphone. But the thing is, if you're relatively close to the microphone, you're probably not going to hear the room echo. And here's my point. Let's go back to church. I hate the people that go, wow, I love the praise band today, but the bass player was too loud. When I hear stuff like that, I go, you are listening to how it's presented instead of what is being presented. You know what I mean? There are people that really pick apart audio and they go, oh, I can hear the room background. I can hear that room echo. I listened to a podcast yesterday where they interviewed two different people. One person was, they're both via Skype, which will be a question here in a second. They're both via Skype, and I swear one person was using the microphone on their Mac. It was not good, but it was listenable. And in a minute, I'm going to strap on a, we'll get to that in a second. So I used to be hyper-focused on that. And the more I listen in the car, the more I listen with headphones on at work. If you have any kind of background noise going on, you are probably not. There are a lot of people that are going, what was he talking about, background noise? Because your background noise drowns out my background noise. So my answer to that, now, if you would have asked me in 2006, I would have said, oh, we got to sound just like radio. Kaka a poo poo, no. And that is, I realize, completely opposite. There are two words that I say are unlistable. One is blog talk radio, and the other one is talk shoe. Because the audio quality, not the microphone, not the room noise, is less than AM radio. So don't get too hung up on the background noise. Do I have to have two mics if I plan on doing interviews? How do I do long distance interviews easily? Well, that's the best way to do an interview is to have two microphones because number one, some people talk really, really soft and you can adjust their volume. So that means you're going to need a mixer. That's what a mixer does. It takes really loud people and you can turn them down, and people that are really, really soft, you can turn their volume up. So you're mixing the volume levels. And so you need two. You can do one, but then what you do is the Bob Barker interview, you know, where you have the one microphone and you say, well, what do you think the price of the mac and cheese is? And then you point the mic at that person and they answer, and then you point it back at you and you point it back at them. That works, except if you have any kind of spontaneous talking, an actual conversation, you're going to miss somebody, or inevitably you'll talk when you're pointing the mic at them. So you can do that. Not the great, and you're probably going to get some mic handling noises. So yeah, you're going to need two microphones. That's the best way to do, if you're doing them in person, two microphones is almost a needed thing. Can you get by with one? Yeah. When you're starting out, sure. Why not? Not a big deal, but you can get by with that to start. And what I hate is sometimes people, I call it paralysis by analysis. We get too crazy on that. And I'm going to say this topic really quick because I think I've said it before. I know I've said it before. Brain crack. We get involved with brain crack. In other words, I have this idea in my head and I want it to be perfect. I want this, and this is going to be in place. It's like weddings. My stepdaughter's getting married next year, and it just has to be perfect. We got to get all the little details. And I'm like, oh, it's brain crack. Because people don't do things because they can't match the perfection in their head, where if you actually did it, and sure, you don't get perfection, but if you aim at perfection and missed, many times you end up at very, very good. You know, so don't let that perfection paralyze you. How do I do long-distance interviews? There are a couple different ways. Easiest way is via Skype. It's skype.com, now owned by Microsoft, I believe. And, you know, the great thing about this is if the other person on the line is somewhat of a computer person, they can plug in a headset or a microphone, however you want to do it, and you talk to them for free, Skype to Skype. Now, some people don't have a computer, and you can actually buy a Skype out number. It's actually a way to call phones. I think it's $30 a year, something around that ballpark, and you can call them on the phone. Now, they're going to sound like they're on the phone. And the other thing is eventually, we used to do a podcast called Today in Podcasting. We all use Skype. Is eventually when you use Skype, eventually it's going to burp on you. And that's fine. You just say, hey, Susie, in the middle of that answer, you somehow, Skype went weird. Can you answer that again? And then you just edited it out. It's not a huge deal. It doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen. It does happen, period. So Skype is the easiest way. If you have somebody who has their own recording gear, you can do what's called a double ender. And what that basically means is I record my side, you record your side, and then we put them together later in editing software. And the easy way to do that is simply somebody counts to eight by counting to four twice. In other words, I would go one, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. And what happens is the second time I count to four, you count to four with me. That makes it super duper easy to line up the two files, and then you mix them down to one. It's called a double ender. Now, the nice thing about that is it sounds like you're right in the room. If you have somebody, if you both have decent recording quality. So, but most people don't do that because it's a little more extra work. And Skype is the way to do that. And then I record Skype with my portable recorder. I basically just take my headphones out of my computer, plug that into my portable recorder, and then plug my headphones into my recorder. So I've actually got a YouTube video that the easy way to record Skype that shows exactly how to do that. She says, keeping a limited budget in mind, what are my basic must-haves to begin a podcast? Well, number one, above everything else, you need a microphone. And the microphone I'm talking into right now is a Shure SM58. I actually may get a Heil PR40 just because I hear so much about them. But that will be, I'm doing good with a book. I might take some of the profits from the book and buy a Heil PR40. It's going into, my microphone is going into a Behringer mixer. And that mixer is going into my Zoom H4 recorder. So this is a $99 microphone. And right now I'm going to put in my, I'm getting interviewed for my book a lot. And I'm not always near a computer in some cases. So I went out and went to Target and just bought a Logitech headset. I think it's $19, nothing crazy, to do Skype interviews. And it's not that I don't want to sound good on my interview, but in some cases I'm in a hotel or wherever I'm at, and dragging along my podcasting stuff isn't always an option. So I bought this cheap headset, and could I start a podcast with this? Yeah, it's got a bit of a buzz. Here is me on the headset. All right, so this is me with a headset. And again, you typically want to get a fairly high signal, but not too high, somewhere between -6 and -12. It sounds weird because the top level is zero. So I'm actually doing this on my Dell computer, and I'm nowhere near that at this point. And I'm talking pretty loud, and my microphone input is all the way up. So there's a mic boost in the actual system here, and there we go. So that's actually a little more like it. And actually, it's sometimes a little loud. So I'm going to crank me down just a little bit. But you will notice something here, that by kind of turning up the sensitivity of the microphone, it is very clear. I will give them that. But when I shut up, you will hear there's a lot of hiss. Now, this may be, again, the background noise that nobody hears because of your background noise. But I'm going to shut up here for a couple seconds. Now, also on the software here, there is a noise suppressor. This is built in. I don't know if it's Windows or if it's just that. But if I click this, it cancels out the noise, but it also makes me sound like I'm underwater. So now I'll shut up for a couple seconds. Which you can do in Audacity, by the way. You can do this post-edit, and I do on occasion. And almost every time I use the noise suppressor, I don't like it. So I'm going to turn that off. But this is a $18 microphone from Target. Would you listen to somebody talk like this for 15 minutes? You know, that's you make the call. I will say it's clear, but that hissing is a bit. But on the other hand, sometimes my podcast hiss, and I'm pretty sure if I was in the car, I wouldn't even notice it. All right, so you need a microphone, and if you're on a really bare bones budget, you could take the microphone and buy a USB interface. There are a few, and that would then eliminate the mixer. Now, that's not going to work if you're doing two people. That would be for, like me, I have one microphone, and you just want to plug the microphone into the computer. You could get there are different USB interfaces that allow you to plug in the microphone right into your computer, which would basically get you in the $100 range if you use this microphone. And there are cheaper microphones than the Shure SM58. To me, it's just, this is, number one, it's durable. It's just a workhorse. It's been around forever. But I always tell people, you know, for the price of a Nintendo Wii, you can start podcasting. And if you drink a $5 cup of coffee at Starbucks every day, and you times that by 30, you know, you're at $150, and that'll pretty much get you in the ballpark, get going. And I mentioned this earlier. This is my very first ever podcast. This was a podcast for musicians, still going, called The Musician's Cooler. I didn't have any intro music because I had been taking my novel idea, my newsletter that I'd been sending out via email. I went from that to putting audio on the website. It wasn't a podcast because it wasn't delivered RSS. And then eventually I found out about podcasting. And here was my very ever first podcast.
Music. Marketing. Mentoring. I hope you're thirsty. This is The Musician's Cooler, where musicians come to trade advice.
Hey, everybody. I should say good morning, I guess. This is the Monday edition, April 4th edition of The Musician's Cooler, previously the newsletter, and I'm your host, Dave Jackson, moderator of The Musician's Cooler, and In this podcast, our very first podcast, even though technically I've been doing podcasts for about 8 months, posted MP3s up on the website, didn't know they were called podcasts, till my good friend Dylan Benjamin read an article.
So there you go. Susie, thanks for writing in. So number one, if just to start a podcast, you could start off with a headset mic. Not my favorite way, but sometimes if that's all the budget's going to allow, again, don't let that brain crack get in the way. You know, start off with a headset, then later down the road, you can upgrade your equipment, because if the content's good, people will put up with not so great audio quality, as long as it's listenable. You know, and I've heard people that do podcasts. I'm like, wow, you sound really good. And they're like, yeah, I'm using a headset. And I'm like, really? So keep that in mind. Everything, you can go to schoolofpodcasting.com/equipment. And I've actually got a list of, you know, you need cables, you need a pop filter, you need this, you need that. So schoolofpodcasting.com/equipment. I use Same Day Music a lot for my stuff. Some people use Amazon, things like that. So I want to thank you very much, Susie, for writing in about that. Thank you so much. That's going to do it for this edition of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. We've talked a lot about starting a podcast. One of the things you want to do, the easiest way, the fastest way to get going, is to go over to the schoolofpodcasting.com. I've got step by step. If you want somebody to hold your hand, I do it. And plus, we've got June, as he goes over to davidjackson.org. June 7th? June 6th? When is our next podcasting webinar? It is June 7th at 9 p.m. if you want to ask me some questions live. Another way that I get topics for my show is I do just roundtables, I call them. There's no agenda. You just show up and say, hey, Dave, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And so June 7th, go over to schoolofpodcasting.com/webinars to do that. If you do have a podcast and you're looking to monetize it, check out my new book at morepodcastmoney.com. And thank you so much for listening. And until next week, God bless. Class is dismissed.